A few days after this, some friends at Bury in Lancashire, with whom I had been in sweet union for a few years, agreed to take a room for prayer, and came to invite me to meet with them. I did so, and on the first Lord's Day that we assembled together, we carried on the meeting with singing and prayer. But on the second Lord's Day, they invited me to give them a few words of exhortation, and would take no denial, which I therefore did. But I got up with such fear and trembling, lest the Lord should stop my mouth, that my knees were so weak that I thought I must have dropped down. The Lord, however, opened my mouth and favored me with liberty in speaking, and such life and sweetness flowed into my soul that I was astonished, and the few who there expressed themselves to be refreshed. If I remember rightly, we were about 7 or 8 in number, and all exclaimed that the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we were glad. Here my soul was kept for a time in real humility, meekness, and quiet, as a child at his feet, begging of him from my very heart that he would never more suffer the devil and my own evil nature to bloat me up with cursed pride, so as to attempt ever again to rob him of his glory. But the devil started a fresh thing to my mind, which was a sore trial indeed, that I had never had a real evidence that I had the power of the Spirit upon me to anoint me to preach the gospel. Here then I began to search, and to try to find if ever I had received any scripture testimony that I had the Spirit. For I was confident that unless the Spirit had set me apart for the work, it would all come to nothing, and that it would be proved after all that I had run before I was sent, and I knew that if that were the case, all would end in the flesh. Oh, how my poor soul went out to God in cries and tears. Oh, dear Spirit, art thou with me? Oh, holy Comforter, hast thou anointed me to preach the gospel? Dear interpreter, do show me. Here I was for between 3 and 4 weeks, searching, groaning, crying, and longing, that God would satisfy me that he had set me apart for the ministry. The few persons to whom I had spoken in the room had all testified that God had sent me to the work, but that did not satisfy me. I wanted it from God's own mouth, and therefore my cry was unto him, but there was no answer, neither night nor day, for several weeks. This brought me to fear that God had never sent me, and how to go and preach until I was satisfied I could not tell, for I trembled lest I should run before I was sent, and the fear that God would stop my mouth again made me to shake like a leaf. I told the few people again and again that I must give it up, for I was afraid that I had never been sent, and that the Lord would stop my mouth. But they insisted upon it, and that come I must, and declared that if I did not come, I should be fighting against God. This put me to a stand again, and what to do I could not tell. Sometimes I thought that the people's voice was perhaps the will of God, and that I ought to obey it. Then again I thought, poor dear things, they are quite deceived in me, for they do not know but that I have the Spirit, and I felt determined and that I would not go until I was satisfied I had the Spirit. When the Lord's Day morning came, oh, what workings of mind I had! Oh, the dreadful darkness that overwhelmed me, that I could neither see nor feel, and that I was either called to the ministry or even to be a Christian. I began to fear whether the work of grace was really begun in my heart or not. Oh, the confusion and misery I had from 3 o'clock in the morning until the time came for me to go. Such was my confusion that I went out without my hat, and my wife came running after me and called out to know where I was going. I told her to Bury. You had better, said she, put on your hat. How far I should have gone without it I know not, for I was in such confusion that I feared my senses were going. No text, the Bible a sealed book, no answer to prayer, and the devil roaring. Pursue him, take him, for God has left him. Today you will be made manifest that what you are, both to the people of God and to the world. And what added to my misery, he brought up all my former hypocritical ways and cursed pride, and told me the time was now come when God would make me a spectacle to men and devils. Oh, cried I, wringing my hands in the fields on my way, would to God that I had never been born. Oh, that I had never attempted to preach. What shall I do? Whither shall I go? Sometimes I stood still and thought of turning back. Then on again I went, begging and crying to the Lord that he would find me a text. But all was dark as darkness itself. Then, cried I, how is it possible that God has sent me, or will be with me, and when he has entirely left me and forsaken me? Then I stood still. Surely, thinks I must turn back, and determine to give it up. For if I go and have nothing to say, the people will call me 1,000 fools for coming without a message from God, and wonder that I should be guilty of such hard presumption. So I turned back, wringing my hands, sobbing and crying, oh, that I had never been born. I had not gone back more than 300 yards when this text met me like a sword and sounded in my soul like a trumpet. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, it fetched me down to the earth, both body and soul, in a moment. Oh, Lord, cried I, trembling, it is hard that I must go neither backward or forward. Oh, that it would please thee to show me what I must do. Thou knowest that my heart's desire is to do thy will. Lord, what is it that thou wouldest have me to do? Oh, Lord, do show me, do lead me. But nothing could I get. But no man, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Then I felt a resignation to fall into the hands of God, and went forward, telling the Lord to do with me as seemed good in his sight, and if he had not sent me, to keep me shut up, that the people might be satisfied that the Lord had not sent me. When I arrived there, the time being up, I began the service, but had no text. And oh, what a trembling time I had in prayer! But near the close of it, I felt a submission to fall into the hands of God. And whilst they were singing before the sermon, oh, how my very soul went out to God to find me a text and open my mouth, and then I should know of a truth that he had sent me, and believed if he would answer me, I should never doubt again. Just before they concluded singing, these words came with such light, life, power, and sweetness as overpowered my soul with joy and comfort. I got up and read them as my text. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 41, verse 17. The dear Lord opened my heart and mouth too. I felt a springing up of matter in my heart, and my tongue unloosed to speak it with such sweetness and liberty, that I was quite astonished to feel it flow so freely into my soul and out of my mouth. The few souls who were there, and who knew the truth, about 9 or 10 in number, sat under it with great delight, and its fruit was sweet to their taste. Their very souls were alive, and their mouths spoke forth his praise, particularly one old traveler, poor old John Crompton, who had known the truth for about 40 years and had come that morning about 9 miles. Poor dear old soul, when I had concluded, he took hold of my hands with the tears falling down his poor old cheeks and his countenance shining with the holy anointing, and said, May the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless thee. God has thrust thee out into his vineyard, and has sent thee to preach his everlasting gospel. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thou art young, and hast many fiery trials to pass through. But God has not sent thee a warfare at thine own charges. Fear not, for he will be with thee, and I am confident he will bring thee through them all. Oh, what strength and encouragement did this communicate to my heart. My soul was wonderfully strengthened in the Lord my God, and I believed in my heart that he was with me. I went home at night, much refreshed, and could praise and bless his dear name for his mercy and goodness in going before me in the way. But the next day in comes the devil again with his old plea that I had not the Spirit. And what, says he, is all the testimony of men if you have not the Spirit? I began to feel a little sinking of mind and to fear that I should be deceived and rest satisfied without having the Spirit. So I had an errand again to God, and truly it was a wrestling time indeed, as night and day I was crying out in my heart, O dear Spirit, hast thou anointed me to preach the gospel? Hast thou come upon me for this very work? Is it thy dear pleasure that I should preach, and wilt thou be with me? And wilt thou accompany me in thy word with power?